Welcome to Rebrand Your Life, a podcast and community tailored for high achievers, professionals, and creatives. If you're overwhelmed, living on autopilot, paralyzed by the fear of where to go next, or desperately need a life overhaul, you are in the right place. Hi, I'm your host, Amber Plant. I'm a former corporate marketer turned intuitive business owner, trauma survivor, and your manifestation cheerleader. My purpose is to help you replace self-sabotage with self-compassion, encourage you to heal from the inside out, and supply you with the intuitive tools to create a life and career on your terms. Let's rebrand your life together. I am so happy you're here. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Rebrand Your Life podcast. I am so excited to have Angie here today. Thank you for being on the show today, Angie.
Thanks for having me, Amber. I know I enjoyed having you in my podcast so much. I'm glad to talk again.
Yes. Well, yeah, I was going to say that Angie and I had the opportunity to record last month together on her podcast, and I listened to that back and I just got so emotional because it was just such a beautiful way for me to share my story from a different lens because of Angie's expertise. And I am just so grateful that you gave me that space to kind of reflect on my journey and also give me a different perspective of maybe something, well, a lot of things that maybe I wasn't thinking of. So I appreciate that.
Thank you. It's always so good to hear feedback from guests on my podcast about how they perceive it, because my goal is to create a safe space for the listeners to connect and feel heard and understood. And that feeling comes through from you as you're sharing your story. So thank you for creating that space for the listeners too.
Yes, of course. Okay. So I want to start out with a question to ask you just so we can get our conversation going. And also I'd love for you to share more insight into your story and everything that you're passionate about. So that question is, you are a generational healing specialist. What was the catalyst in your own life's journey that made you realize that this was the work you were meant to do?
Such a beautiful question, Amber. I think I have to kind of start at the beginning about how it all started. So I'm a bio mom, first and foremost. My daughter is now 23. And when she was about 10, I decided I wanted to become a foster parent, but I went into that foster parenting journey with a ridiculous amount of parenting tools in my tool belt. Worked in special education. I had just finished getting my master's degree as a speech language pathologist, and behaviors were really my jam. Like, I would seek out and ask to have the more challenging cases put on my caseload because I really enjoy helping kids and parents through behaviors. So the thought of becoming a foster parent, or I hadn't even really considered being an adoptive parent, to be quite honest. I wanted to create a loving, safe space for kids who needed a space for a while, and then help that facilitation of getting them back to where they, you know, to their home of origin. So I went into that role so prepared, so ready. And so we had fostered a few kids in our home, and it was hard, definitely. And then we met our son, and he came to us through unusual circumstances. It wasn't part of my plan, at least, to become an adoptive parent. But as soon as I met him, I knew that he was meant to be a part of our family, and that life had led me along the path that far for a reason. So I thought, you know, it was a big decision to make, but I felt so prepared, right? Like I said, I had all these tools, I had all this experience, all this training. And then when my son was here, and the behaviors that I knew, like my brain knew about them, but I didn't know how to handle it. I didn't know how to handle myself in the moments. My brain knew he just wanted to be loved. My brain knew that he had a tricky past, but my body was physiologically having responses, reactions to what was happening in my home. And so things got really ugly in our relationship. And I think that that was the catalyst that led to who I am today. The police were involved. Child Protective Services was involved. It was having an impact on my relationships, on my job, on my speech license. It was the dynamic that was happening between my relationship with my son was having this ripple effect everywhere. So things, like I said, got really ugly. He ended up being removed from our home. And it was in that time and space that I had to understand why it was so hard for me. How could I have more tools than the average parent and still be failing miserably with my son? And so I ended up hiring a mindset coach. And at the time I was like, this is it. I totally understand why I struggled. I didn't realize how much control I had over my thoughts and feelings. So I started, I quickly had this realization like, whoa, how I'm feeling about my son's behaviors, that's on me. It's not on him. He doesn't need to change. He doesn't need to have different behaviors for me to feel better, to feel less frustrated. I need to change. So I started doing that work on myself and then started working with clients and started seeing progress with myself, with my clients. But it wasn't quite enough because there were still situations where parents were doing the things I was saying, but it wasn't quite working. It wasn't quite hitting the mark. Or they themselves like couldn't shed their own stories. And then I found human design. And human design really created this exponential shift in my perspective about how I saw myself and about how I see my kids, my relationship with my kids. My goodness, like looking back and thinking, had I known that my son was a projector when he was younger and I was struggling so much with behaviors, I could have handled our interactions differently, right? Mm-hmm. Knowing the mindset piece and then knowing his energetic needs and my energetic needs too could have had such a profound impact. And so it really, the catalyst was CPS getting involved, the police getting involved, but it created this kind of cascade of change in me so that I could show up differently for him, for myself, for everybody that I love. So I've been using human design with my clients for a while now and I'm seeing wild changes in behaviors. Like if you just look up your human design, you wouldn't think like, oh, this is going to help me reduce or even eliminate my child's stealing behavior, my child's, you know, like arguing behavior, the power struggles in my house. You would look at human design and think like, it can do that. I don't think so. But it has that power when we really understand our needs. And it has, the more that I study, the more that I put this into practice with myself and others, I realize that we as parents must be the change to change the trajectory for our kids.
Yeah.
We have to go first with ourselves to really shift the way that we're showing up for our kids if we want them to change. We can't change our kids' behaviors, but us still stuck in old generational patterns. We have right. to really shift them all, flip them on their head, I guess.
Yeah, I love your story. I mean, I've heard part of it, but I didn't hear it in that much detail. I just can't even imagine how that felt when everything just like fell apart and he was taken away and it was just like, what are we going to do now? Right. Cause you had already adopted him. Right.
Yeah.
And so eventually he was going to come back and something had to be different. Yeah. And I think about that with my son and I'm really struggling right now with figuring out how, like, what's the fine line of discipline and not discipline. And maybe I can get your opinion on this. Obviously, we have a toddler and he, you know, he's kind of testing his limits right now because he knows he probably can get away with more. And he's, it's like my husband is not backing down and then he's not backing down. And so we've started just putting him in his room and just, you know, for like less than 10 seconds. You know, we put him in his room and then we just say something like, we don't hit, that's not nice. Are you ready to stop hitting? Something like that. And I still feel guilty doing it. So I don't know if you have any recommendations, but it's just so hard because I've also been through trauma and done a lot of change within myself. I know how I would want, well, maybe I don't know exactly how I would want to be raised now. After my healing journey and learning about intuition and, you know, really just understanding the type of person I am, but I guess the disciplinary action that we are currently doing with him, it just doesn't feel aligned, if that makes sense. I think it probably makes my husband feel better because it kind of reroutes the behavior, if that makes sense. So we remove him from the situation, bring him back, and then things seem to be fine after that. But still, it feels off.
Yeah.
So I want you to touch on a couple of things. So obviously you can respond to what I said, but really helping my listeners, especially those who don't know about human design and how that can help them to better parent their children and understand their energy, as well as going more off of intuition versus, like you were saying before, like all of the scientific, structured, and then also the generational ways that we, you know, received parenting, etc. I know that's really broad, but.
No, that's great. And, you know, what I was thinking as you were talking is really like, I mean, there were so many pieces to what you said, but my first thought is, are you and your hubby willing to think differently about your role as parents?
Yeah.
Because you think about, like, you kind of said this, right? Like you said, I don't know how I would have wanted to be raised as a toddler, knowing what you know now about your experiences. That's true, right? Like, how reflective can we be of our toddlerness? but when you understand the energetic needs of your little one, it does give you very specific strategies. So for example, in just outside of human design, just in typical child development, humans are designed to go through two primary phases of power, meaning that there are two phases during child development where kids are designed to figure out where they have appropriate power in their life. The first happens between the ages of 2 to 4. Okay. And it is at this stage that developmentally kids, we see it in lots of different ways, but where kids start to have this awareness that I'm separate from mom and dad. We are not one. I'm my own human. And we see that come out when our toddlers start saying, nope.
Yeah.
Right. We hear them asserting, because it is that word no comes out when our kids like take this leap into this cognitive phase where they have this awareness that, whoa, I could say no to that. And I get a reaction from that. It's wild, right? You think like the wheels turning in their head when the first time they say no, and they're like, whoa, did you see the power I had over my own life? That was amazing, right? They don't think that, but that's what's really happening. So it happens during toddlerhood, and then it happens again during adolescence. So just be warned.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
As parents, we get to decide if we want to help our kids learn the boundaries of appropriate power during that phase and again when they become adolescents, right? Because adolescents, you think about like the human experience, you know, hundreds of years ago, it was around the adolescent age that kids really had to start stepping up and taking care of the tribe, right? And so they're already wired to differentiate when they're little and again when they reach adolescence. I'm not saying that it's our job to like let the reins loose, let the toddler run the show, but we get to choose if we help them like stay within those boundaries of appropriate power.
Right.
And when we decide to do that, it's us as the adults making a conscious decision that I don't have to be in charge all the time. I get that I pay the mortgage and pay the utility bills, and they do not. But what will the long-term effects be if I help build their sense of empowerment at this very young age? Because right. I don't know your little guy, but I imagine that he's hitting because his mouth hasn't caught up with his brain. So he's trying to assert what he wants to do, but it doesn't come out the right way, or it doesn't come out at all. And you guys can't read his mind. And so then he hits instead because he's frustrated because he like has this awareness of what he's capable of or wants to try to be capable of. And he's being denied that access, not because you guys are doing anything wrong. You're just, you know, running a household. But that's usually the dynamic that happens. And then when we layer on top of that human design, so some designs are more apt to seek power. So some kids in their design are more apt to like draw back and maybe even veer towards more of the people pleaser type. Some designs are more apt to like keep pushing the envelope, keep pushing the envelope. And it's not to see what they can get away with. It's to build their sense of empowerment. And so as parents, like shifting the way that we think about that can be really powerful for ourselves too.
Well, when you were talking about how he hits, it makes a lot of sense to me because how could he possibly know that hitting is hurting other people? I don't know. I just feel like sometimes I'm like expecting him to like be a full-on adult or something. But it's like, I don't really think he understands that, you know, his actions are hurting other people, right?
Yeah.
And so it's like, duh, child, like you don't hit people, but like he doesn't know that. So that makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. You know, in some regards, as parents, it is our job to help them understand that, oh, it hurts when you hit me.
Right.
But it's finding that balance, because I think like if in a magical, perfect world, if we could really understand our kids' energetic needs and understand child development and show up for them the way that they are really calling for us to do, then the hitting is just significantly less likely anyways. And then in those moments when our kids do hit, well, then we can address it. But if you feel like you're like stuck in this loop of, you know, he's hitting, then to take a step back and say like, what is that hitting about? What is he trying to tell us or not capable of telling us yet that he needs? Because I really think, you know, I had learned back when I worked in the behavioral realm before I knew human design, I had learned all behaviors are communication. And I don't disagree with that at all. I just look at it so much deeper now than I did before. Yeah. In my old training, it was behaviors are communicating that kids, you know, want something tangible. They're trying to escape a demand, you know, like these kind of like superficial things. And human design says, well, yes, but also our kids have energetic needs to feel empowered, to feel like they belong, to feel loved, to feel valued for who they are, you know, and so much more. And so back to my hypothetical question that you don't have to answer, but right, like when we're parenting our kids, I think about, what do you want the outcome to be long term when they're 25 and raising their own family and they're looking back at their toddlerhood or their child years? Do you want them to think like, yeah, mom, dad definitely ran the show? Or do you want them to think like, I felt so empowered to be who I am?
I love that. Yeah. I love that so much. Yeah, let's go a little bit deeper, because I want you to touch on this as well, helping my listeners understand what human design is, even if it's just like a little blurb. And I think that's important because, like you said, we do think of as parents that we're required to monitor behavior and that we're, you know, supposed to, you know, control our children. And I've just had such a hard time as a parent. Like, for example, I went into public with my son and my husband this last Saturday. My son's name is Ollie, Oliver. He was running all around the grocery store. We're like, okay, Ollie, if you hold on to the grocery cart, you can walk around the store with us. If not, we're going to have to put you in the cart. So of course we put him in the cart kicking and screaming and was just not okay the rest of the time. Usually we give him a little treat and he's fine, or a little snack. But what was really interesting to me is kind of watching the people around me. The cashier, while Oliver was just really upset, wanting to get out, and the cashier was like, oh, we've all been there, like no problem. And she's like, can I give him a sticker? And then there was a lady behind us that I could just tell that she was like, get that child out of my face kind of thing. I think it's such a hard position to be in as a parent when you can't, and you and I both know this because we're so big into energy. There's just so much about energy and you know, people's capacity for energy, and that we're just not able to control it all, right? And so it's so hard as a parent where it's like, okay, like we need to respect other people, right? We need to calm my child down. And you just don't know what you're going to get in public. And I've heard in other countries that people are much more, you know, okay with little children being around, you know, at fancy dinners and in public, and it's totally normal. But it's just such a mixed bag where I live in the USA. But yeah, I don't know exactly know where I was going with that, but and I want to loop it back to what you said during your journey, that you realized that you were the problem, right? And that's where I got with my healing journey. I was just like, you know, here I am. I'm blaming, you know, my depression, my trauma, everything. I'm blaming it on my house or my spouse or my coworkers that are calling me after hours. And, you know, I finally had to realize that I was the problem. But yeah, I just look at life so differently now. I move throughout the world in a way that I feel comfortable with and that I feel empowered. But it's like, how can we do this for our children? Yeah. Because, you know, I'm 32 years older than him. You know, we can't expect him to just pander to what we expect, right? And I want to empower him, but how do we do that?
Yeah, that's a loaded question, right? There was so much gold in there. But one, I find it so fascinating in the human experience that, back to your example of going to the grocery store or Walmart or wherever you said you were, I find it so fascinating that we will prioritize our perception of other strangers' needs over our own, right. Kids, right? We will adjust the way we're parenting, or perhaps reprimand our child, even though we might know, like, oh, they're so hungry. They're acting out because they're hungry, or they're acting out because they're tired, or, you know, whatever it might be. They have this unmet need. Yeah. We know why our kids are acting out. And then we yell at them because we want them to shush, because we are energetically, we pick up on the stranger behind us. We take other people, what we perceive to be other people's input, and we let that dictate how we're parenting. And I find it wild, and I highly encourage you to stop doing it because we all do it, right?
Love this.
But when we think about, like, I asked that question about, like, are you and your hubby willing to think about your role as a parent differently? Because when I think about I didn't think this way when my kids were younger, and I wish that I had, but this is how we learn our lessons, right? But when I think about my role as a parent or a grandparent, I really think that my role is to be a steward for them, to help provide enough guidance and protection without smothering, in a way that I help them fully be them, not that I help them fit into the box that society's created, or that my generational patterns have created, or that school has created, whatever it might be. That I really genuinely think that our role as parents is to help usher their energy in to whatever they're designed to become. And I see this playing out in my home, right? I have my two granddaughters and my daughter and my son, who I had such a tricky relationship, and my daughter's husband and my boyfriend. We all live here together in a multi-generational home. It's chaotic and fun, and we're doing it on purpose because we see the value in the tribe.
Hi, my beautiful friends. After connecting, hearing your stories, and listening to your challenges, I've come to realize that we all share the same experience. We're stuck in the same cycle, operating on autopilot, stressed and burnt out, yet long for an aligned, fulfilling life. We want an escape plan from all these draining roles and businesses so we can take a break to redefine our unique version of success and well-being. What if you gave yourself permission to shut out the noise and focus on where your inner voice is calling you? I am so excited to introduce what I've been quietly creating for you. Welcome to Rebrand Your Life and Career. Join our six-week virtual group coaching program and community designed to help you pivot your career guided by your intuition. This is a sacred space for you to take a break from your obligations, to understand what you want and how your intuition is going to get you there. Over the 6 weeks, you will rebrand your life and career on your terms by intuitively defining your purpose, vision, values, and a manifestation board to serve as your compass for life and career moving forward. Create your career pivot plan so you can change roles, switch industries, start or expand your business, get more education or training, or build something completely new. Find comfort in community by leaning on others who deeply relate to you, can cheer you on, and develop beautiful, lasting friendships. You can wait for certainty or you can create it. This isn't about reinventing your identity. It's about coming home to it. Click the link in the show notes or visit amberplant.com to enroll. I can't wait to experience this journey with you.
The multi-generations really supporting each other. And my oldest granddaughter, she's 3, she's a manifesting generator. And so we haven't even dug into human design yet. But what that means is that she has this energy to go, 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 go. And she has this a bit of an internal drive that is, it's kind of like sources within her telling her or guiding her to do this and do that and do this. So she's got all this energy and she has something internal guiding her. And so we as parents, we look at that kid from the outside when we have a child who, for example, has that type of energy, and we look at them as kids with ADHD, they're impulsive, they're hyperactive. You know, we put all these labels on them and we try to control them. Like, oh, they're being too hyperactive. They're jumping on the couch. They're, you know, trying to climb the trees. They're chasing the cat around the house, right? They're doing all these things. And we as parents are like, I can't handle all that energy. So we try to control them and put them in a box. We put them on medication or we take them to therapy or, you know, we create structure and routines around them instead of saying like, okay, this child is designed to actually figure out how to do things faster in the world. The manifesting generator, that is their role. If we think of all of us having a role on this planet, the manifesting generator's type is designed to figure out how to skip steps, how to like expedite human growth and learning. And so this idea of how do we parent with our kids' needs in mind? So this little one, she's 3, she is in everything. So she loves making smoothies often. Her smoothie is like her morning request is, Grandma, can we make a smoothie? And I have to be on my game to make smoothies with her because I don't want to tell her she needs to slow down because she doesn't need to slow down. That's a me thing. She's going faster than me, but that doesn't mean she needs to slow down. It means I need to catch up or create a safe space where she can go as fast as she needs to, wants to, and she's safe. And I don't have ingredients, you know, dumped all over the floor. But when we understand their energy needs, we can parent or grandparent them differently according to their type, according to their needs. Mm-hmm. Smoothie time comes around. And I like, she can't reach the counter yet. So I'm strategic. Like I don't get out her step stool until we've gotten all the ingredients out and then I can be there with her. Right. Like, because I know if I get the stool out first, she's going to have all the jars open and she's going to be scooping everything and we won't even have a cup there yet. Right.
Yeah.
Because it's just her energy. It's her design that she's supposed to be fast. And I don't want to be responsible for her as a young adult feeling like she needs to slow down for everybody else. I don't want to have a part in that. I want to teach her that she has this beautiful gift that she's supposed to go faster. So she can teach all the rest of us how to speed things up a little bit, right? So that's kind of the idea of parenting by design is understanding our kids' human design. So also back to your other question. So you said, what is human design? Like, to help listeners understand. So it is some people call it a bit of a personality assessment. However, any personality assessment that you have taken thus far is based on your mind. And so when we think about when our kids are born, when we all were born, we were these perfect little bundles of skin and muscle and bones and a soul. You know, our babies have a mind, but it doesn't really have thoughts in it yet, right? Mm-hmm. Everything that is in our mind, I mean, you can think through this as you're listening to this episode, but everything that's in our mind has come from the outside.
Right.
The thoughts that we have, the expectations we have of other people, our beliefs about things, all of that comes from the outside. But our body, our gut, our intuition, that's in us. It's in us from the moment that we're born. And so human design is a blueprint of what that energetic blueprint is of that brand new baby. And it also, human design then also tells the story of who energetically that baby is designed to become when they get older. And it shows when all of those thoughts, all that conditioning happens to us, which happens to all of us. We can't avoid being conditioned by our life. Human design shows us what energy we're more likely to go to when we're conditioned, when other people's ideas are coming into our head. So like, for example, it can show you what type of fears you're likely to experience, you know, whether it's a fear of inadequacy, a fear of being criticized, a fear, like some of us have that and some of us don't have that energy. And our human design tells us that. So, and it's so much deeper than that, but essentially human design is a combo of the chakra system, the Judaic Kabbalah, Eastern and Western astrology, quantum physics, and the Chinese I Ching. So it's like ancient wisdom with science and putting it all together to give us a map of who we are.
I have wanted, and I told you this before, I've wanted a human design expert to come in and talk because I am so grateful for human design because it kind of gave me a framework to work under that felt genuine to me. And even though I'm not very structured with it, oh, I have to do this this way and this way and whatever. And I know people have taken, like you were saying, people have taken those personality tests and some for careers. And I mean, those have been helpful as well. But with human design, it really helped me to understand and really implement. So I specifically am a generator. I've been told that I'm a sacral generator, meaning that my body speaks to my intuition through my gut. And I have to say that that's not the only way that my intuition speaks to me, but it is a surefire way for me to know if I'm not in my intuition and not in alignment with my intuition. And I think I've shared this story before on the podcast, but I'll just briefly say. So I went back to corporate for about 7 months after having my son, and I was just having so much resistance toward the role itself. It just was not working with our family. There were days where I just was having really bad gut problems, and I just was so nervous all the time. My stomach was upset, so I felt like I couldn't eat. And finally, just decided, and my intuition guided me, like, you need to quit your job. And I was so violently against it. But I just knew that, like, my body couldn't live in that state for very much longer. Constantly feeling under stress, not feeling like I can eat anything because my gut was just screaming at me. This is not the best situation. And I was just so grateful for human design during that time because I was like, okay, this is so much more than just circumstances and a job feeling like it logically makes sense for me and my career right now. Yes, the energy feels off, but also my intuition and my gut is guiding me that it's off, and receiving messages from my intuition that it's time to quit, as well as my husband begging me to quit. Another thing too is I started working at a marketing agency. And as a generator, what they tell you is that you just generate energy. If you're passionate about something and it feels good to you, you could do it 4 days and nights and just never burn out. What's really insidious for a generator, someone specifically with my energy type, is that eventually, if you don't like what you're doing and you're burning that energy, it will happen to you where you go through trauma like I did. And I went through a major burnout journey because, you know, I was so good at what I did. It came natural, but it was misaligned. So eventually I did crash and burn, right? And so now that I'm in my business, I have my podcast and I'm moving toward coaching, it's a really fine balance what I'm learning with me, because I have so much energy and I'm so passionate about. Now that I've kind of turned my business, it was a hobby. Now I've turned it into a business. I had to figure out other hobbies that lit me up and made me excited to put toward outside of work. I've only recently discovered a few of those things. I'm getting into film photography, which is really fun. I am building an interior design plan for my house, as well as I just learned how to make specialty coffee in my house. And so there's just like a lot of fun things that I can do outside of my business. But what I was learning is that it's like, I do have to rest. I'm just kind of learning my limits. Human design has really helped me with that, because it's okay that you feel so lit up and so inspired to like pursue this right now. But when you feel tired or you feel like it's misaligned, that it's probably time to shut it off or you're going to burn out. Yeah. And so I've learned this over and over and over again. And I did it last week. I filled my week to the brim with other people's, you know, agendas. And what am I doing? So it gives us a framework to play around with.
And, you know, I love too, like the way you were describing that you use it. It is, you know, kind of as you said, like it isn't a labeling system. It shows us where we can best serve our soul, really, or how we can best serve our soul, because our soul knows what we're here to do on this planet. It knows, and it knows when we're off track. It knows when we're not meeting our energetic needs. And so, you know, there's so many other subtle things, you know, you were describing. I don't know anything about your design other than you're a generator, but with any of the types, if, for example, we have an open will center, we're more likely to take on projects that we should say no to if we were following our decision-making strategy, listening to our gut, if that's your strategy. Mm-hmm. But we'll take them on because our open will center, for example, is trying to prove that we're valuable. And so we'll take on things just because we don't want other people to think that we've prioritized ourselves over their needs, right? Like, what will they think of me? You know? So that's just like one little example, but there are so many pieces in our design that it helps us see in a more structured but loose way about what that energy is that we're dealing with, as opposed to us just guessing. Because I feel like the parenting game or the self-care game on its own is such a guessing game. We're like, well, let's see if this discipline works for our kids. Let's see if sticker charts work for our kids. Let's see if timeouts work for them. Let's see if, you know, like as parents, we go through, like either we pick an expert and we're like, okay, this is the way to parent my kid, or we parent exactly as we were parented, or we fight against how we were parented, but we like pick a thing. And then it's kind of like, like a guessing game. Like, well, that didn't work for our kid. I guess I'll try the next guy's strategy. Oh, that didn't work. Oh, I guess I'll try what my husband did, you know, versus human design says, it like lays out this map of your child has energetic needs that they're going to question their lovability based on this in their chart, or they're going to need some alone time, or based on their chart, your child might need deep connections with friends. Like friends might be really, really, really important to them fulfilling their purpose. You know, we're all designed so very differently, so uniquely, that when we know these things about ourselves and about our kids, it just helps us make better decisions and get the heck out of our head, right? Because I started to say this and then, you know, as you can tell, I like go on a tangent, but none of us are designed to make decisions with our head. You're designed to make decisions with your gut. I am also a generator, but I'm designed to wait out my emotional wave, which, so I hear my gut, it has important things to tell me, and then I have to wait sometimes a few days, sometimes a couple of weeks before I know what's right for me, which can be really challenging. You know, you think about our kids and we want them to, like, I don't know, make a decision about something. We want, you know, I think about, like, again, the toddlers in my house, asking the three-year-old what she wants for snack. If I say, what do you want for snack? Well, she isn't designed to answer questions that way. She's designed to listen to her gut like you are. I need to ask her yes, no questions. But if I say, what do you want for a snack? Or I say, do you want fruit snacks or, I don't know, yogurt balls, right? She says, uh-huh. Yeah. It's not that she's not smart. It's not that she doesn't know what she wants, but her gut is hearing one of the two of those and says, uh-huh, because that's what her gut is supposed to do. And so as a caregiver in her life, I get to pose questions to her differently to help her learn how to make more aligned decisions.
And so my son, as a projector, I probably need to say, do you want Cheerios? Right.
Don't ask him. Yes.
Don't
no questions.
Ask. Nope. Okay.
Nope. So only generator types should get yes, no questions. And then all the other three types should get open-ended statements. Like, I wonder what you're hungry for today. So something like that. I wonder what you're hungry for. Or I'm curious what you're thinking about snack today. And depending on some other subtleties about his type, he might have to talk it out. And he might come out with that first, like, fruit snacks. Maybe apple.
He does that.
No banana, right?
He does that.
Yeah.
So we've been doing this. We say, what do you want to watch? And then he'll say something. And then usually he has to, like, redirect and say, no, I want this instead.
Yeah.
So that is hilarious.
Yeah. Well, and as parents, right, it can drive us nuts because we're like, well, make a decision. Which one do you want? Depending on some of the elements in his chart, some of the projector types are designed to have to hear their answer on the outside of themselves before they can come to their answer. Yeah. And so that's why some projector types will say one thing and then they're like, no, that's not it. And then they'll say another thing and then they're like, no, that's not quite it. And then they'll say the third or fourth or fifth thing. And then they're like, yes, that's it. It's because they didn't know what their answer was until they heard it outside of themselves.
We talked about this on your podcast. I will link this, you guys, if you want to listen. But both my husband and I are generators. So I do think that's why we get frustrated, because we're like, who is this kid? Like, he's nothing like us. I know he is, but it's just so incredible to just go deeper and just understand a little bit more into why, you know, we are and why our children are the way that they are. I wanted to ask you before we go, how can parents kind of get started with human design? And specifically, would you recommend them starting with learning theirs and then moving into their kids? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, two things. I just recently released a mini series. It's a private podcast. So I'll make sure you have the link for that. It's called The Parenting Reset. I think it will be really eye-opening as you listen to it to just have a little bit more understanding. We talked about a couple of, like, very specific human design things here. In the podcast, the mini series isn't all about human design. It's about, like, we were talking about power struggles, which that's part of mistaken motivations, right? So I go through a couple of key parenting concepts in there with the premise that we as parents, we have to do differently. We see evidence all around us with what's happening at a global level, and it's ugly, right? And then we're feeling that pressure in our homes. Yeah. And it's almost easier to, like, hide in our homes and shut everything out and pretend like, you know, these bizarre things aren't happening, but they are. And our kids are going out into that world. We need a reset. And I can't emphasize that enough, that we have to parent our kids differently than we were parented. Hands down, that I think there's nothing wrong with my parents, right? I think my dad did such a lovely job of raising me to, you know, he didn't he wasn't a controlling parent. He allowed a lot of like freedom of thinking about what we wanted to do. You know, I still, even as an adult, I'll be like, oh, Dad, this is so hard. You know, I'll complain to him about something. And he's like, well, I mean, you do get a choice about how you respond to that. And I'm like, oh, why would you say that, Dad? You know, like, just commiserate with me for a second. But that's just not how I was raised, right? So the parenting reset, I highly recommend. And you can grab your free chart on my website. So I'll send the link. It's angiegrant.com. But to answer your question, there actually isn't a black and white answer because, for example, projector types are more likely. So if you yourself are a projector as a parent, you're more likely to understand the concepts when you see them outside of you. So oftentimes projector parents understand human design better by looking at their kids first and not themselves. That for some energy types, it can be harder to really see in yourself. And I'm not saying projectors shouldn't study themselves by any means, but for that kind of first dig in, you might learn so much more by understanding your kids first, as an example. And that isn't just true of projector types, but at the end of the day, what I hope that your listeners take away from our discussion is that one, we have to be willing to think differently about our role as parents and to consider trying a different way of parenting. This isn't, you know, like I know there's so much talk out in social media world about like gentle parenting versus like, I'm not even talking about any of that. That isn't part of anything that I do. I'm talking about like, let's use a lens where we see your kid energetically and parent them based on their energy needs.
Well, before we go, is there anything else you want to share with my listeners as well as where can they find you? And then also definitely mention your podcast. Yeah. We can link that as well.
Yeah. So my podcast is called Sometimes Love Isn't Enough. It started as an adoption-based podcast, but I find that the clients that I attract and the listeners that I attract are parents who are just struggling to connect with their kids. And they want to understand what has gone wrong. And the message in the podcast really is that you are a great parent. You haven't done anything wrong. We just don't know what we don't know, right? When we don't understand what our kids need, we parent from our own experiences because it's all we can pull from. Right. So that's kind of the premise of it is every episode you get practical tools about something you can start implementing right away. And we share stories. Over the summer, I had lovely guests like you, Amber.
Yeah.
And many others. And probably this fall, I'll go back to me sharing more concepts and then we'll go back to bringing guests on. So that's my podcast. You can find me on the socials at Connected Parents with Angie. So I'm on Instagram and Facebook, and then my website will put the link. It's Angie Grant, but there's a D in the end there. So it's easier to just put the link. And then as far as like things to share, I mean, I currently have a couple of open spots for coaching clients. So if what you hear resonates with you, if you check out the parenting reset and you're ready to take that next step, you know, I'd love to chat with you to see if coaching is a good fit for you.
Yay. Well, thank you so much, Angie. I'm just so grateful for people like you that, you know, specialize in things that we just are not specialists in. And I just feel like parenting, it's such a trip, especially for new parents. But as your kids get older, they just grow up so fast and things change so fast. And just having some type of support that feels good, right? Instead of feeling forced. I just can't wait for my listeners to hear what you have to say because we don't have to parent or feel bullied into parenting a certain way if it doesn't feel good. Yeah. And so this has honestly sparked something in me that I think my plan is to study my son's chart and bring different strategies to my husband. And I do think that he would be willing to try something different. And so I'm really excited to see what I can do to better support my son, because I think the hardest thing for me is I get in my head and, you know, we have a schedule and I'm just like full steam ahead, and I need to be better at, you know, just taking a step back and being like, okay, like what does Ollie need right now? Clearly, he's not okay. He needs something. And so I am just so grateful. So thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me, Amber. This was just such a blast.
Okay. Well, thank you, Angie.
Yeah,
And I
thank
will see
you.
all of you guys next week. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening. I hope the message you heard today was exactly what you needed. Your feedback means the world and helps more people find the show. If you loved the episode, send me a DM. I would love to connect with you and learn more about your journey. If you haven't already, subscribe, leave a star review, and comment wherever you listen. Just a reminder, until next time, the universe has led you here to remember who you are and where your divine intuition is begging you to go.